June 20th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. We are meeting at 8:30, call to order at 8:39 p.m., and Secretary Michael Novick will call the roll, please. Thank you.
Okay, unfortunately, I didn't actually bring the roll with me, but I'll call it to the people who are here, and we'll see who else is missing. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Margie Murray?
Here.
Michael Novick, that's myself. I'm here. Margie Wilkinson?
Wilkinson, yes, I'm here.
Okay. Here. Anthony Fest?
Here.
Bob Letterer?
Here.
Carol Burton?
Here.
Did I miss anybody who's right here?
Tracy Rosenberg,
that's right, came in. There we go. So we have eight people. That does constitute a quorum. Who is not here? Is that
Sagara? Sounds like someone else just arrived.
That Arlene just tuned in.
Hey, Arlene.
Hello, Arlene. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
We have you on the
Oh, very good. Arlene.
Welcome.
Arlene Eisenberg, the
DD.
Okay. Engelhardt, sorry.
Right. Okay, so missing are Manije Saba, Kevin White, who asked to be excused because of a conflict, Nancy Saibara Naitomi, Kimberly Orendoff, Wesley Bethune. Okay. We are present, and go ahead. We have an agenda for the benefit of people listening. I'll just run through it. Attendance. Minutes for approval from, I'll change that to June 23rd. And the next meeting schedule, 10 minutes for that. Special order, Arlene Engelhardt is on for time certain at 9 p.m. Earlier, if we get to that, of course, since Arlene is here. Old business, work group reports, number one, database integrity. Number two, issues regarding e-balloting, electronic balloting. And number three, search for electronic balloting.
Can I repeat the last one?
Yes, a search for electronic balloting companies. I'm not too certain whether
okay,
that's
right.
A separate committee or part of the first group, but I put it down, search.
I think there was a three-step process laid out last one. The first one was to just discuss the issues first, and then we were going to assign people to the third based on that, or not based on that discussion.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then the second old business item was documents from prior election committee work on outside companies, which, okay. And then new business was elections of officers and timetables for the elections process. And I set the adjournment at the usual three-hour mark, 11:30 p.m., although we may end up much earlier. We have two conflicts with LSB meetings, KPFK and KPFT, which may be some of the absences. So that is the agenda, and I forgot to put into the agenda the approval of the agenda, which should be the next item. Any changes to that or additions? I think I sent out a rough draft if you want to add approval.
Yes.
Above the attendance, that would help. Any changes to that agenda?
This is Bob Letterer. Bob Letterer. I just wanted to ask the people on from K if... they can tell us when they would have to leave, and maybe we should make that our adjourn time. What time you're?
I think they said they were leaving and getting back on.
Oh, did they already? Did the other folks already leave?
They said they were leaving and getting back on a cell. I'm here from Kate, but I actually went to the site of our LSB meeting early.
Oh, we're still
I'm
here.
We're from that location.
We're going to leave
okay.
And call up on a cell phone.
Yeah, but I'm asking.
You're going to stay with it for a while.
Right, but what I'm asking is, I know you have a board meeting tonight, so I'm asking what time will you have to leave at that point so you can start participating in your local board?
No, our board meeting runs from 7 o'clock, so that's when we'll have to disconnect from this election.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. So
okay,
in other words,
well, it's 7 o'clock LA.
So 10 p.m. Eastern. So I guess
maybe a little 9:30 to work out political strategies and things. You know how that goes. Oh, I'm on a. We're on the stream. I shouldn't have said that. Huh?
Well, I don't know.
What,
let me ask the K folks. What do you think? What should be our adjourn time? Maybe 10 Eastern, 7 your time?
This is. Are you asking the K folks?
I'm asking your opinion because three of you are going to have to leave.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock our time, of course.
Okay.
Well, any other thoughts on that? I would like not to set an adjourn time because three people will be leaving. We may have more by then, and we may have a discussion going on. I don't mind leaving that open unless anyone else objects besides Bob. Any thoughts on that? O'clock or open? Does it matter?
Not sure.
All right, so we haven't, there's no decision on that. All right, next item was the minutes for approval. You all have a copy of those minutes that Michael sent through. Are there any changes to that or amendments? I did notice, Michael, you didn't put down the absentees. I didn't make a list of who was absent.
All right.
I remember we had a few. Maybe we could add that.
Okay, I will correct that.
All right. Any other corrections? Hearing no objections, then, those minutes are approved as written. Thank you very much. Next item was the next meeting. I looked on the calendar. If you want to bring up the Pacifica calendar, I see Thursdays might be open. Third Monday.
Thursdays are back from Margie.
This is Bethune from KPFT.
Oh, hi, Leslie.
Hi. Kevin and Nancy and I are all in a continual meeting of the local station board at KPFT.
Yeah, so we heard. Do you think you can toggle both, or do you want to leave at a certain time? What is your, what were your attempts to do?
Well, we're in executive session now. I can see nothing is going to come out of it. And so anyway, I'm here for the elections committee. If I have to leave, I'll let you know.
All right, thank you. Maybe as soon as we decide on the meeting, we can
repeat who that was, Leslie, you said?
Wesley Bethune. Wesley.
The last name, I'm sorry.
Bethune, B-E-T-H-U-N-E. I misspelled Nancy Saibara's name in the, agenda, so please correct that. S-A-I-B-A-R.
Is that yours?
S A I D A R A, right?
S I D A R A hyphen N A I T O N.
There's a lot of beeping and booping. I couldn't guess. Hyphen what?
Yeah, so somebody is coming on and off. Do you want to mute yourself?
Personal privilege. What is the mute code again?
I never use it because I have one on my phone.
Pound, it's pound one.
Pound one.
Say it again.
Pound one.
Pound one. That doesn't sound right. Okay.
It's a toggle. I'll try it.
Okay.
And it's the same thing to unmute.
It's a toggle. All right. I think the next item would be next meeting. We have either the third Thursdays or third Mondays open. Wednesdays don't seem to be working for everyone, and there seems to be a standing conflict with Wednesdays. So,
this is Margie. I just wanted to ask a question. I thought we had agreed on a particular day. Did we? Because I didn't apparently write it down anywhere.
Well, we agreed on Wednesday.
Okay.
Is that still all right with everybody? There seems to be a real conflict, though, with Wednesdays. When I look on the Pacifica National Calendar,
Lord,
there's a standing conflict. I forget with which committee.
The first Wednesday of the month seems to be okay, but otherwise you get into local LSB meetings and then PNB meetings.
The first Wednesday looks good. The third Mondays, first and third, second and fourth Mondays are frat committee, but third Monday is free, and third Thursdays. I don't see a conflict with third Thursdays, although WBI, the finance committee meeting, I think it's second Thursday or fourth.
Margie, Murray, weren't you working Thursdays or something? Not there.
Well, we have so many absentees. Maybe
Margie's back on.
Hi.
Are you not Margie?
Aren't you working Thursdays or something like that?
Yeah, Wednesday actually is a better night for me. I teach on Mondays than Thursdays.
Oh, dear, really? So Wednesdays is good for you?
Yeah, Wednesday I can do.
Oh, all right. Anybody who cannot do Wednesdays? Well, we have so many absentees.
It's hard for us to decide. I'm not in front of my computer. I know we've been having PNB meetings on Wednesdays.
Yeah, they're the fourth Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the
first Wednesday, I don't think there's a conflict.
It's listed as KPFK, and the second Wednesday is three LSB meetings.
Yes, it's kind of silly. The first Wednesday then looks good. Except that comes right up. The next one is August 3rd.
Well, we've been late in starting the election committee, so what? So we have another meeting right away.
Well, we haven't been that late in starting it, Ken, but thank you for the
point. Oh, I'm sorry.
It is late
all
in
right,
starting
it. Sunday, the next first Wednesday would be August 3rd. Is everyone all right with that as our next meeting?
Okay.
Yep. Marching, yeah.
All right, thank you. Then we'll set them as, and I'll enter them in the calendar for a few months as the first Wednesday until people who are absent have a conflict that can't be resolved with that. Thank you. All right. Well, we're almost a little early, but I did put down Arlene Engelhardt for 9 o'clock. Arlene, are you ready to talk to us now?
Sure.
Oh, that would be lovely. Thank you. And I set 30 minutes, including time, for Q&A, so anytime you want to stop, we'll chime in with questions.
Okay, well, I will admit that I thought it was going to be mainly questions, and so I wanted to answer whatever questions the committee has. So if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and start there. Maybe I'll just start out by two or three sentences.
All right.
One, that our elections are extremely important, and it's important that we do everything we can to make them happen equitably and fairly. And obviously, there are some areas that need changing from past elections, and so I want to work with everyone to see what we can do to improve that structure. And the other thing is, I think that it's wise and a good thing to be looking at the possibilities of electronic and any other things that we can do to cut the expense of these elections, because they are very expensive. But that's part of the price of democracy, too. So we have to remember that there will be a price, no matter what we do. And from there, I'd like to go into questions.
All right. Well, I have one, but I will go last. Anyone else have questions you'd like to ask Arlene? I think last time we had a list of problems that we were anticipating and wanted her to at least talk to us about.
This is Margie. I have a question.
Go ahead, Mark.
In the last election, we had a very serious problem at KPFA, which involves the National Election Supervisor going into the ballots and selecting ballots, staff ballots for certain individuals and disqualifying them from voting, which changed the outcome of the election And as a result of a court action on the part of the candidates who were involved in that election, this was overturned. And I just want to know what ideas Arlene has that would prevent such an egregious thing from happening in the future.
Well, to begin with, that was completely egregious, and I did send out a statement to that effect, and actually, you know, it was overturned partly by the court, but it was really through an agreement that we made once that had been filed by all parties. We certainly cannot allow that to happen, and that's one of the questions that comes up, and to be perfectly honest, I don't have all the answers, but our bylaws are very clear that once the election supervisor is selected, they are autonomous. And I think that we need to find some ways to rein this in just a little bit and to deal with the issue that there has to be some supervision of that person. And the same thing applies really with the local election supervisors, too.
I'll follow up on that if no one else has one. I think one of the issues is that the supervisor did not, and evidently didn't think that she had to, consult with legal counsel before doing something which clearly was against the regulations and the bylaws as we know them. I mean, that wasn't a new thing.
Right.
So perhaps we need to make it clear whoever's hired will have to consult with legal counsel if there's any question that comes up of this sort.
Right, and I'm appalled that it happened, and I will state for the record that I did not support, you know, in any way going ahead with that lawsuit. Or allowing that to stand. I wanted to overturn it immediately.
This is Margie. I just want to say that I personally challenged the National Election Supervisor over this issue, and she told, and we had a sort of an email back and forth, which involved me at one point saying, who makes the rules? And she responded to me, I do. So I think that Carolyn's point is very well taken, that
mm-hmm.
clearly, you know, she didn't feel that there were any rules that she needed to abide by.
Yeah, I think that may have something to do with contract or the understanding of how that's done, and maybe the Elections Committee can have a little something to say about the contract with which the supervisor is hired. I know that it's that's between the ED and the NES, but still, a little oversight probably would have been
definitely true.
Michael Novick here. It seems to me that one of the things that would have made that possible is the fact that it's not an authentically secret ballot, which is problematic. And there should be some way to make sure that people are only voting once, but not to know what their vote is. In my union, if there's, you know, like a challenge ballot or something, you have like a double envelope system where the identity is on an outside envelope. You make sure the person has the right to vote. Once you know they have the right to vote, then the inside envelope is removed, separated from the identity of the person who cast the ballot, and then you open up that envelope and include it in the tally. And it seems to me that one of the problems with the election system is that it's not a secret ballot because there's some kind of branding on. Obviously, you couldn't fish out some particular person's vote unless you were still able to identify each person's votes, and that would lead to that kind of violation.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, maybe that's something that this committee should address. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Farley...
I think the question... Go ahead. The question we had earlier when we asked to have this meeting actually had to do with sort of the backing of management for the role of the LSB, and this is Michael Lovick speaking, and okay. Still. When we first asked to discuss this, I remember the issue was the question of the backing of management for an oversight role for the Elections Committee and for the PNB in general, in terms of trying to make sure that the rules are followed. And I hear from Arlene says that because the bylaws grants autonomy to the NES, that's difficult. I'm wondering if we have some way to deal with that. In other words, it's a tricky question because obviously you're electing the delegates and therefore the PNB eventually in this process, and so you want to have something that is outside that, you know, have the legislators, so to speak, deciding who gets to vote.
It seems to me that one of the possibilities there, at least it's been, that I've been thinking about is, you know, one that I think you've all been looking at, too, and that is using an outside company.
Mm-hmm.
That might solve quite a few of the problems. That wouldn't solve the problem of what happens on the air or candidate forums or, you know, some of those issues. But it would solve the problem of, or could solve the problem of, totally secret ballots and fair counting and so forth. It also wouldn't solve the problem of whether the list is correct or not. Those are all internal problems.
Yeah, this is Tracy for the stock.
Oh, and then Bob Letterer.
Yeah, Tracy, and then Bob. Go ahead, please.
Well, a couple of things. I think the first thing to say is that you had a problem last year where you had election rules broken, and we have experienced over the past 8 to 10 years that has happened frequently, and election supervisors have always been in the position of being unable to enforce those rules consistently or at all. So I think it's important to understand where the problem last year originated from and take that into account when you're looking at how to solve it or make sure that it never happens again. I think Arlene is correct.
Is this
what
Tracy? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry? What?
There? Who's?
Are you having trouble hearing me?
No, I'm just asking you to identify yourself.
Oh, Tracy Rosenberg from Berkeley.
Tracy, okay. Yeah, good. Okay, that's right.
Okay.
Just checking.
Sorry, Michael. And
sorry.
Then the other thing that I wanted to say is that I think that Arlene is correct in identifying that there are a bunch of problems that we have in our system that whatever sort of outside company you contract is not going to be able to solve for you. So I would encourage that we not spend all of our time engaging in RFPs and spend some of our time solving the problems that we genuinely have, which I think she laid out fairly well. And that's all.
Yeah, I do think that one thing that will work a lot better the next time around, and that is that we, in all but one station, have permanent GMs in place, and hopefully long before the election we'll have permanent GMs in all 5 stations. And that gives me much more authority in dealing with them on these issues and much more leverage in making sure that they help to enforce rules.
Thank you. And this is Tracy again. I had one more thing that I forgot, so maybe you could just put me at the end of the stack again.
Yes, all right. Bob and then Tracy again.
Okay. Well, first on that, the last point that Tracy and Arlene were addressing about the internal problems and the external, I do agree that both facets of the problem need to be addressed. So, you know, I think the committee will definitely want to look at the issues of the membership list and also some of the broad rules under which the elections are conducted to make sure that those are consistent and that there's mechanisms to really have transparency about what the election supervisor does, such as, you know, decisions, written decisions on complaints and so forth. But then the other half really is, I think, having a professional outside firm that is independent of anyone at Pacifica, I think, is really crucial to have the trust and belief that there will really be fairness in the election, which is, of course, the most important thing. So I just wanted to ask Arlene some things about the process for hiring. Well, first of all, the contract last time, that was when you were ED, right? Is when you was signed the contract for last election. Is that right? Or was that
yeah,
after
it was
you came
shortly
up?
after I was hired.
Okay.
Very shortly.
So did that contract, did those contracts require the submission of the final report as a condition for being paid, or was that, were those two things not linked?
It required submission of a final report. I'd have to go back and look at it to see whether it specified, you know, for being paid. I know that in at least four of the cases, we withheld payment until we got the final report in. For whatever reason, that did not happen. I don't believe in the fifth one.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying I know historically, because I've been on the election committee on several occasions, I know this has been a recurring problem. So, you know, whatever language needs to be tightened in the contract would be helpful. And in that vein, can you send the committee the contract for the NES and the LESs from last time?
Sure.
So we can offer suggestions maybe on ways to improve the contracts.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, the final question is about timing, because the bylaws as amended, I guess it was 4 years ago, now set the hiring date for the NES as March. So had you given thought yet, or and certainly this committee could offer suggestions as to when to put out you know, a notice and start gathering resumes and have interviews, et cetera, et cetera.
I would say right after the holidays.
Okay.
In January. You know, and we started, to be perfectly honest, I was brand new last year and we started much too late.
Right. Okay, that's it for now. Thank you.
And the other thing, let me bring it to your attention, and I am dealing with counsel on this one, but we've run into a problem over these being contract employees, at least in New York. And that's in the bylaws. It says they can't be an employee, and I mean, I should say not contract employees, but contractors. And the Tax Commission in New York is ruling that they are not legitimately contractors. And so this is another issue that I'm working on literally right now.
Well, can I just add something on that point?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am certainly not claiming to be any lawyer. I'm just someone who's read the bylaws many times, and I always was mystified by that interpretation, because what I thought it was saying was that at the time they are hired, they can't be a Pacifica employee. The idea being we don't want insiders running our elections. We want neutral,
mm-hmm.
independent outsiders. But that doesn't mean that once the person who is determined by the ED to be that kind of neutral, independent outsider is then hired, I don't see any bar on then from that point forward until their contract expires being an employee.
Yeah, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this now,
okay.
And I tend to agree with your interpretation, Bob, and I have gone back to the labor attorney with that issue, and the attorney has both our bylaws and the ruling from New York, and so we'll proceed from there.
Okay, all right.
But, yes, I tend to agree with your interpretation. That's the way I saw it, too.
Okay, thank you. Tracy, you had another point you wanted to make?
Ken to the stack.
And Ken.
That's okay.
Okay, Tracy.
Yeah, I'll pass. I'll get back to it later.
All right, Ken.
I want to point out that the last election, two elections ago, we had a major change in the process that was written by a ruling from the PNB that was passed, mandating required carts to solicit participation by the listeners to become nominees to the LSB. Otherwise, we see historically that candidates devolve down to the people who are local, hanging around, part of factions and so forth. One second.
Turn right
the next corner. Sorry for the instructions inserted there. So I would like to see that the PNB thing on elections implemented in 2012, which means that there's mandatory cards played way before the election, telling people about it and what they have to do to become members, so we don't just have, quote, insiders, unquote, running. The same people who've been there before and hanging around and so forth. We need new people, and the only way that's going to happen is we advertise for it using the radio, by putting out cards inviting people to run for the board. And there were other regulations there and other requirements, and the enforcement on those requirements was disciplinary actions on the general manager if they didn't get the cards played, if they didn't get the cards before the election and during the election played. So I just really want you to follow that policy that was issued, I believe, in 2009.
Right. As I mentioned earlier, Ken, it's a lot easier to follow with permanent managers in place than with interim managers that in some cases don't necessarily care quite as much whether they hang on to the job or not, and kind of leave us in a pickle if we're left without a manager at that point, too.
Okay. Just saying that that's, if we devolve down to just having people nominated who have been hanging around and are associated with the station, but, you know, not the broader listenership, then we're not being very democratic. So, I mean, we want to have a democracy. That means we want to get representation of the
right.
entire listenership, not just people close in to the station. So we have to outreach on that. It's very, 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 very important. And now, and I just want to concur with what Tracy said. It would be very expensive to hire a firm to do the requirements of membership list cleanup and so forth. That's going to require discipline and persistence on our own part. And that's all. I'm going back on mute.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to follow up on that, Arlene. Several of the points that have come up. One is the question of the relationship. Last time, before your time, we've always had a problem with implementing these decisions that the Elections Committee and the PNB have passed, all of them wonderful, none of them with any disciplinary action built into the motion itself, left that up to management. And for one reason or another, there was not a lot of follow-through. I'm talking about the last three or four elections before your time, even. But one of the things I think we wanted from you was what you've already indicated, and that is some assurance that you understand the problem and that you will be able to bring some pressure to bear on management. Because if you look at some of the materials that I sent through about inspiring and bringing along the membership, getting them ready for elections, there's a lot to do, but an awful lot of it depends on cooperation from the DMs and from the station program directors, getting stuff out, getting mailings out, collecting data, and the staff lists are another problem where it's going to be up to you whether or not we have clean lists ready for any supervisor to use. So that's one of the issues that I really wanted to ask for your assurance on it. I know you understand the problem, but if you're willing to really press on the GMs, especially with the staff list databases.
Yeah, we're already trying to address that issue, and there are a lot of pieces to it, and I'm hopeful that we're going to get at least any more of them right than we have in the past. And I guess that's the best I can say at this moment, but it begins with the issue of clean lists. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's basic. And the other issue I wanted to raise, I'm sure there are other people who want to talk, but was the question of a budget. Now, because we have no election this year, we have a little bit of lead time. But our budget, if we move to, which I hope we can do, we can manage a move to electronic balloting, that may cost us more the first election, but at least the one company that we've looked at so far has is offering a significant discount, evidently, if we contract for two elections in a row. And that is the sort of thing that will skew budgets tremendously. It'll look too high in one year and very low the next. But is that something that you would be willing to consider and look at, some flexibility in the annual budget as opposed to 2-year budgets for the elections?
Yeah, I would be willing to consider it. We have to figure out where the money's going to come from. But the other point of view is, the other part of that is that we do have to pay for elections. I mean, they are a part of our bylaws. They are a part of our democratic process. And so they have to be covered. And I personally want to see some move towards something better than what we've done in the past. And if it appears to the main party's concern that that would be the best, and I will admit that I'm leaning that direction, then, yes, I will do everything I can to help make it happen.
All right, good. That's good to have that assurance, because we've lacked, I think it was Wes Radke who said over the years that the PNB passes beautiful motions regarding elections, none of them with any teeth. So I think that's where you come in. We need teeth in some of these.
Right, and quite a few of these are management issues. And I apologize for some of the things that happened last time, but I'll be perfectly honest that, you know, in my first 2 or 3 months on the job, I was somewhat clueless as to what was going on, and it was very difficult to try to tackle that along with all the other things that were absolutely immediate priorities.
Yeah, well, it's understood, but we do have a little leeway this time. So
yes, we do.
Some of those problems. Anyone else have other questions or problems or?
This is Margie. I'm new to all of this, and so I'm curious. I don't understand what the reference is to clean lists and what that means and what the problems have been in the past, and I just appreciate some explanation of that.
It means really up-to-date membership lists and making sure that they're absolutely relevant or correct in terms of the dates and the proper contributions and meeting the requirements for membership. And with staff lists, it's even more difficult to determine that for sure you've got people who really genuinely are staff, and then making sure there aren't any duplicates between the two. We also do not allow people to be voting members in more than one station, so that's also a part of the whole process that has to be deduped for that purpose, because we do have people that contribute to more than one, or maybe even all 5 stations. You know, I know that I do for one, and I don't honestly feel that I should be voting in any of the elections, and I didn't last year, but I did get a ballot for one station, and I didn't get 5 ballots, so that was a good thing. You know, but those are all issues that we confront, and one of the things that I'm also investigating that might help us in the future, maybe in time for next year, although maybe not, and that is it would help if we had one MEMSIS database that we were using that was consistent to all of the stations, and
uh-huh.
That is not the case at this point. We have different versions at different stations and different levels of ability to make sure the lists are cleaned up, and that's a real problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, this is Michael Novick. I think a big priority for this year, since there is an election, is trying to get a system in place that will then be self-sustaining, so it's not every year all of this starting from scratch all over again and trying to clean the list up, but creating a method to have a clean list ongoing.
Yeah, and that is an ongoing issue that, you know, it's dependent on being updated every
mm-hmm.
year. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being updated in time for the balloting, and we run into a problem there. We have some stations that have have fund drives that, you know, run into June, and that's another issue is the overlap between fund drives and the election period and how that impacts, you know, getting announcements on the air and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
Oh, yes, that's a good question. Margie, there's a lot of information indirectly in the National and Local Supervisors reports, which are in the file section. Have you had time to go through those, or do you have access to those?
Well, I admit that I did read the last report with a bias, because I had many huge disagreements with Renee during the course of the election, and so I looked to see what she said about those things, and I didn't think about the issue of lists. So I'll go back and reread them now and look at
well,
that.
Well, yeah, before that.
Yeah, look at the one from Casey Peters. It's pretty pretty comprehensive.
Yeah,
okay,
Casey
thank
Peters
you.
And some of the early ones from BAI and the National
yeah.
Local Supervisors.
This is Tracy. I can address a little bit about the list question if you can put me on the stack.
Well, that's good. Any other questions for Arlene while we're here? We were going to ask you to promise the moon, Arlene, but I suspect that isn't going to work. So, any less sweeping suggestions or questions? I do have one question I did want to ask, and that is the chain of command was really a problem over the years. The individuals would have a complaint, and the local supervisor would put it aside and not answer it. And then it turned out they would say, well, that's really management's problem with the cart and so on. So people would pass the buck until the election was over. And we have unresolved complaints from three elections ago. They're still sitting there because nobody wanted to take responsibility for addressing them. And I think that really needs to be tightened up. Exactly what our general manager is going to be held accountable for that goes wrong in their stations regarding the elections, and what recourse do the local supervisors have when they have a problem with the program director or the general manager who doesn't want to do what the supervisor thinks must be done in order to advertise or give equal access to the air and so on for nominees. So that really is something that has to be looked at very carefully. I don't know, Arlene, if that's on your to-do list this year, but I know it's going to be a problem again.
Yeah, I'll put it on the to-do list. I realize, as I say, that I have much more leverage dealing with permanent managers, or actually at this moment at all five stations. Partly because I know a lot more, and partly because they all know they report to me, and they want to, I don't think any of them want to be leaving their jobs or, disciplined in some way, and so they're making every effort to be cooperative and to follow my directions. And so I'm not expecting this to be nearly the problem that it was this last time.
Oh, that's good news. Glad to hear that. Anyone else have any other questions?
Yeah, this is Bob. Actually, when Carolyn mentioned chain of command, that reminded me of a problem that happened last time, which was that a staff candidate for the LSB, after his candidate statement was put up on the election website, it was suddenly taken down without any explanation. And when he finally was able to get an answer, the National Election Supervisor said that management, and specifically she identified the ED and the CFO, had spoken to her and said there were alleged misstatements in his candidate statement and therefore it should be taken down, and so she followed that directive. And ultimately, when he and several other people said this is a total violation of the bylaws, she reversed herself and put it back up. But my question is, do you see a role for the ED and the CFO in that kind of matter as to what's posted on the website for the election, or is that something that's really within the purview of the NES?
It's pretty much in the purview of the NES, and I'll be perfectly honest, Bob, I don't remember that specific incident, so I can't comment on it. On the other side of the coin, we do have the issue that as long as we're hiring people that are completely from outside, sometimes there are issues that only an insider can answer. So I think each situation has to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. But I do believe that there needs to be a written response in any situation like this, so that there is, and there needs to be I'm not finding the word I want, but a way to, I don't want to use the word protest, but to,
challenge.
Yes, thank you. Challenge. Thank you, Carolyn. To challenge a decision so that we can hopefully have some equitable action.
Well, just to follow up, that certainly makes sense. But I wasn't so much asking about what's your opinion of what happened last time, but what's your view of the authorities, the relative authorities of Pacifica management on the one side and the NES on the other? Because the issue here, as told by the NES, was that she thought that statements that were that she deemed on advice of management to be quote-unquote inaccurate should not be included in candidate statements. Now, aside from the fact there's not even authority, even if she had done this on her own, there's certainly no authority for management to play any role whatever in that sort of fairness determination. I mean, that strikes at the heart of the role.
Well,
the
perhaps
independent
it is something,
role
you know, this might be something, Bob, that the Elections Committee needs to take up, because there are cases where someone has to make a decision, and being that we've hired election supervisors from outside, they don't necessarily know when people are crossing certain lines, and so somewhere along the line, someone has to make some kind of a decision. As I say, I think that they should be followed up with at least reasonable written responses. I would toss that one back to the election committee to come up with a policy there.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to add that perhaps in that case and perhaps in others, some legal advice if someone finds something in a statement that might cause us a legal problem, that certainly is a management responsibility.
Both of those should be, I think, specified, and they should be part of the directions that we give to the national and local election supervisors so that they do understand what their jurisdiction is in those situations and things that they must do to deal with it to make sure that things, you know, are fair.
That's a good point. We'll be looking, I guess, to maybe write up a contract with your help and getting something that everybody can agree to.
Right. Some of this may not be part of the contract. It just may be part of the almost job description, so to speak, that we would include with it, I think.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you. Well, thank you, Arlene. I know
this is Margie. I just want to make one more comment. We had a similar problem at KPFA where one of the candidates that was on the slate that I ran with had a very hard time getting his statement published. And we did a little bit of research around it. You know, the state of California, when people run for public office, essentially allows them to say anything they want. You're not restricted in terms of the content as long as you don't say anything that's libelous or contains profane language. And I think we have to err in that direction. And if a candidate says something in the statement that people don't disagree with, then there are ways of challenging that in the election process. But we should be very, very, very chary about deciding what people get to say and how that's handled. That's just my personal opinion. Thank you.
Yeah, and once again, I think I'm tossing that back to the election committee to try to work out some statements to this effect. I think they're very important.
Very good. Yes, thank you, Arlene.
Okay,
I
this is Tracy.
Back. Time, Tracy. Go ahead, Tracy.
I wanted to say one thing about lists, and then I want to say something about, I guess, the authority of the PNB over the election supervisor or something like that. And then I want to say something about, defamatory language. So the first thing, just to give a little history, when I was the election supervisor at KPFA in 2006-2007, in terms of what we're referring to with a clean database, we went into the listener database, which at that time had 26,000 names, and through going through a double-check process, we ascertained that 2,000 of them, or almost 10%, were duplicates. So they were either misstatements on the number address or they were misspellings of the same name.
Right.
So Chris and I cleaned that up. And, you know, not only did it save KPFA from mailing 2,000 unnecessary pieces of paper into eternity, it also prevented a problem that had occurred for several years, people getting duplicate ballots, which was pretty much eliminated at KPFA after that. That process is in the 2006 report, And I believe it's been implemented at some of the other stations. I hope so.
It was. It was that basically that process was used at every station this last year, and that was one place where Renee worked extremely hard, and she went in and deduped lists.
Okay.
She spent night after night deduping lists from every station.
Right. So that's a piece of history about problems that had occurred with the list, which happens when you have multiple people entering data into a database and you don't clean it up periodically.
Right. It happens if there's a misspelling or all kinds of things that make it real easy for duplicates.
Yeah, you have volunteers, people entering data.
Michael Novick, just chime in for a minute, because I used to do a lot of mailings. There is a mailing list software that does that automatically and pretty accurately.
So, that's true. It was not at that time cheap, and I don't think that we used it at that point. But anyway, so going forward, the second point was, just to say that we need to be careful about the PNB, the LSBs, or any subset of the PNBs, LSBs, which is in fact what we are, or any individual who is employed by the PNBs, LSBs, and therefore could be not employed by the PNBs, LSBs, which is true of the executive director. You cannot have a position where your election supervisor is basically taking orders from those who are in fact being elected and reelected. I mean, that's sort of a really basic principle about how elections are done. And I do think that you have to err on the side of giving the NESs and LASs as much autonomy as humanly possible. And I know it has downsides. It's just that there's a really big downside the other way, which is basically the integrity of the whole process, and that's why the bylaws are written that way. It's not to piss everybody off. It's because the alternative is total corruption, and you can't have that. So I just want to be clear that that autonomy thing is not in there just to annoy us. It's in there because otherwise you have an election process with no integrity whatsoever. The third thing that I wanted to say about language is I think that's actually something this committee should take up, because there are questions about whether buffeting our listeners with statements that are basically contradictory and essentially false, and subjecting them to go through the process of trying to parse out who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth, because we allow anything to be said, regardless of whether it has any relationship to truth whatsoever, is something that I think that we need to look at, because I think it pisses people off, and I think it's why people don't vote, because it's too much of a headache. And it is certainly the problem with the elections in our larger society as well, and people don't like those either. So I think that, you know, in terms of the things Pacifica can control, because Pacifica can't control what people send on their own postcards and write on their own websites and all the rest of it, but I think in terms of the things that Pacifica provides for the election and can control, it is not necessarily an error to insist on some standards for basic accuracy. And there is a significant amount of distance between what a lawyer would say is defamatory and what, in fact, is the objective truth and what, in fact, is ambiguous. I mean, certainly ambiguities can be accommodated. Things that are demonstrably false probably shouldn't be, and certainly things that are defamatory can't be. But I'm not sure that you err on the side there of basically endlessly pummeling the voters with a bunch of crap, because I don't think it pays off in terms of having an election process that anybody wants to participate in. That's it.
Okay, I hear the thought police coming on, but I see what Tracy's getting at. We do have some responsibility not to not to post clear lies on our list, which have been done in the past. Okay, any comments, Arlene, before we let you go? We've kept you a long time.
No, I think, you know, I think you've got a good starting place, and I'll be glad to come back to any of your meetings, you know, where you need my input. This is very important, and the faster and the better that we can, the earlier and the better that we can make this happen, the better off we all will be.
Wonderful. And if, and I will try to keep you posted with what we're doing in terms of documents and anything you might find useful so that it doesn't get dumped on you all at once.
Good. And then I also have you scheduled to be on the call with the managers tomorrow to start the process there.
Oh, good. Thank you. That would be good to talk about the list primarily, I guess.
Right. And I think we need, we'll cover both the lists and also the issue of coverage, you know.
Oh, yes. Right.
We'll,
okay.
We'll get started early before we're
Wonderful.
Before they have to do anything and get them on the right track.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hi,
thank
Eddie,
you all.
Okay. Thank you very much, Irene.
Keep up the good work. Okay. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night now. Okay, that's good. Well, I think we have our work cut out for us, don't we?
Really?
The next item on the agenda, do we want to discuss this for a few minutes, or do we want to come up with any action items on this? Arlene, I was invited to talk to the general managers for 5 minutes tomorrow, and basically I just wanted to urge them to clean up their lists, make sure the staff lists especially. For those of you who haven't been around here, the problem is that the paid staff are on a payroll, so it's easy to tell who they are. The unpaid staff, however, we have different criteria at different stations in some cases. WBAI and KPFA have not always adhered exactly to the bylaws in defining unpaid staff. And so we have people claiming to be staff members at the last minute, much to the dismay of the local and national supervisors who cannot decide without. So they have taken the position for several years now that they will simply take whatever list they are handed, which is fine as long as people are handing them clean lists. But in some cases, the lists have been padded, they have not been correct, and they haven't really reflected who is actually a staff member and who isn't. So that's a really huge issue. I think I want to just remind the general managers if I get a minute to on that issue. Did I lose somebody? I dropped my phone before, by the way. I'm sorry if the noise, if you heard the noise.
Oh, Carolyn?
Yes.
Can I speak to that for a moment?
Yes.
Who's speaking?
This is Anthony.
Anthony, yes, go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I just want to specify, I can only speak for KPFA, but the bylaws do provide a default standard for staff membership, and also they provide that that meeting the membership standards of a recognized unpaid staff organization also constitutes staff status for LSB election purposes, so it wouldn't, it's not contrary to the bylaws. I think that was an unfortunate phrase.
Well, we've had, WBAI was in conflict, contradictory to the bylaws, and that was one issue. Who has the right? The bylaws have something to say about unions, and then there was the whole question of whether or not there was a union that could enforce standards that were not in the bylaws. So those things really have to be ironed out, and I think that if this committee would address them and make very firm recommendations to a PMB that accepted the recommendations and then directed the executive director to enforce those, whatever it was we agreed on, we'd be a lot farther ahead. That was a terrible cause of conflict over the years.
This is Tracy for the stack.
And
yes,
Bob.
Tracy. And Bob. Mm-hmm. Tracy, go ahead, please.